The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some of you may be wondering why I'm sitting at a stool here. A few months back, I had surgery on my left knee, and I'm recuperating from that, and I'm doing pretty good. But my right knee is giving me trouble now, which I'm going to have surgery on, so it's just a little easier. This makes Mass number 6 for me this weekend, so I figured, well, I'm going to sit this evening, if you don't mind. Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis was one of the most admired beauties, if you will, of the 20th century. If you ever saw a picture of her, you see what a striking woman she was. Some likened her to Helen of Troy, you know, the face that could launch 1,000 ships. For all that beauty, and all that elegance, and all that wealth, fortunately, it couldn't save her from very disfiguring cancer that took her life in 1994. Obviously, beauty is not free. It came with a very expensive price tag. So if it's true for Jacqueline Onassis, it's even more true for Jesus the Nazarene. How much easier would it have been, think about this, if our Lord would have just continued his pithy parables, had healed the sick, went fishing with his buddies, prayed a lot, and simply died in an advanced age. But you see, that wasn't in the cards. His down days were fast approaching. Today's gospel focuses on a long forgotten, or usually forgotten, Christian truth. It would be far better off, we would say, if we would forget it. What we're entering here is the strange world of denial. Bear in mind that Jesus' prediction of his impending destruction, his death, that he must suffer greatly at the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders and whatnot, points to the reality that came immediately before one of the real glory points in his life. You remember from last weekend's gospel, Peter makes that wonderful declaration, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." That unexpected credo made Jesus' otherwise very bleak week. We are being reminded that each time our Lord savored a win, if you will, he immediately got information to us that he would soon have to pay a very hefty price. Think of the transfiguration at Mount Tabor. You remember that scene in the gospel where they're going to build one, a booth for Elijah, and one for one of the prophets, you know, and, "Lord, let's stay up here on the top of the mountain." Jesus' face shone like the sun. His clothing became so resplendent and so white that Clorox couldn't hold a towel to it. Then the price tag was given. Jesus says on Mount Tabor, "Tell no one what you have seen for the Son of Man must first suffer. Whoever wants to save his life must lose his life. Here today, Jesus is teaching his apostles and all of us who follow in his footsteps that while we may have a taste of happiness, and that's wonderful, and glory in it, there is adversity that awaits us down the road. The Lord never promised us a permanent and perpetual rose garden. If it were him, if we could say, in other words, he didn't substitute a Caribbean cruise for the cross. If he wouldn't do that for himself, he's certainly not going to do it for any of us. Every one of us is anxious to receive favors from God. We love to be showered by blessings and favors. So usually we get them. But if we take the plan that Christ lays out for us, the plan of discipleship, divine favors invariably come with a price tag called the cost of discipleship. I was thinking about this in terms of Blessed John Paul II. Here he was, an obscure cardinal from Poland, selected out of really nobodies, and he was made the vicar of Christ on earth to head the church, the Pontifex Maximus, the great bridge builder. And wherever he went, millions shouted, "Viva il Papa!" Long live the Pope. And then one day, a young Turkish waiter decided he was going to do something very, very differently. Using a Browning 9mm automatic pistol, he shot two bullets into the Pope's stomach. It took skilled surgeons hours just to repair the Pope's stomach. That Browning gun almost took the life of the Pope that day. If this truth, the price of discipleship, applies to giants of our faith, and it applies to our Lord himself, why would we think it wouldn't apply to us as well? Even in the spiritual life, there is no such thing as a free lunch. Happily, though, that is not how the tale concludes. I mentioned to you about Paul Harvey earlier. Now we need the rest of the story. We must not snap the gospel book shut until we've read every last page and every last word. In those pages, we discover that a joyous ending awaits each and every one of us when we do what is right and good and holy, like our readings say today. And that is, that joyous ending is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Mount Tabor again, the Transfiguration. It's true enough that Jesus spoke of his immediate suffering and his glory, but he also said, "Tell no one what you have seen until I have risen from the dead." In other words, he presents us the formula of discipleship: glory, passion, death, and resurrection. You see, death then gives way to absolute victory. Now, naturally, we would like to alter that plan, because if you and I were given the plan of discipleship, we would probably eliminate all the suffering there could possibly be, so we could just bask in the glory. That's why we identify so readily with St. Peter in today's gospel. When Christ starts pointing to his suffering, "Wait a minute, Lord, hold the phone here. This could never happen to you. Oh, no way." Jesus says, "Wait a minute, Peter. You got it wrong. You've got it backwards. You see, when it comes to discipleship, there can be no foe or phony actors. It takes the real deal. You must lose your life in order that you save your life." I was trying to think how I might conclude this homily for this weekend. And I was thinking back to a quote I had used one day when I was at the seminary preaching. And I was so proud. I talked about William Penn, one of the founders of the state of Pennsylvania. One of the seminarians came up to me after the morning mass and said, "Gee, Father, Pennsylvania isn't a state, it's a commonwealth." So I won't make that mistake again. William Penn, the founder of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, in the 18th century sums it up best. He said, no pain, no ointment, no thorns, no throne, no bitterness, no glory, no cross, no crown.